I thought was going to be a two-part series called Two Words. 6 weeks later, here we are finishing. Week one, the word was wake up. Talked about wake up and realize what God has given you, the potential you have. We talked about the loaf of bread in the boat with Jesus. And then week two was get out. Kick the doubt out of your life. The doubters and haters are always going to be there. That doesn't mean you got to be best friends with them. Amen. Week three was fear not. We talked about Jesus calming the seas. Week four was stand firm. We talked about Shamma. We went down into P-Patch. It's Shamma time. All right. And then last week we talked about fight back. David at Ziklag. He lost everything. And he sought God and he worshiped. And God said, fight back. Go and recover all. And today I got two words for you. I don't know if you can guess, but my two words are thank God. Thank God. Tell somebody, thank God. So let's look at the story of the 10 lepers in Luke 17. It says, it happened as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Galilee was a part of Israel where Jesus grew up. He was a country boy. Amen. He didn't grow up in Raleigh. He grew up in Fremont. Amen. All right. He grew up in the country. He's from Galilee, and Samaria was the area outside of Jerusalem that was so different than the rest of Judea and Israel that the Jews did not consider the Samaritans any part of their culture or society. They considered them foreigners. They viewed Samaria as a foreign settlement. They did not fellowship, did not associate with the Samaritans. So Jesus passes through his hometown, and then he passes the area where it's not politically correct to hang out. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. So according to the law of Moses, anybody with leprosy was considered ceremonially unclean. They had to live outside of the village. Can you imagine? I know some married couples, if the husband or wife gets sick, they got to go sleep in another bedroom. Can you imagine having to sleep outside of town? If you had leprosy, you had to live outside of the city, and if anybody approached them, they had to shout out, I'm unclean. Can you imagine the guilt and the shame of living with this condition? Not only that, it was a horrible, horrible disease. In biblical times, it was uncurable. It was incurable. It was basically a death sentence. Leviticus 13:46, as long as they have the disease, they remain unclean and must live alone outside the camp. That's why they met Jesus outside of the city. They weren't even allowed in the city. Verse 13, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They got loud. I believe I'd get loud too, wouldn't you? So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. So Jesus is telling them to do something pretty audacious. He's telling these men who have leprosy currently, go show yourself to the priest. A leper can't even go to the city, much less approach the priest. So Jesus is telling them to take a step of faith. If somebody with leprosy entered the city, they would be beaten with the whip 39 times. Did you know the night that Jesus was delivered to be crucified, he was beaten with the whip 39 times? Did you know the Journal of Cancer Epidemiology in 2010 identified 39 major categories where all diseases fall into? Isaiah 53:5 says that by his stripes, we are healed. So if you want to get real deep this morning, Jesus is saying to them, you go into the city and I'll pay the penalty. But notice they were cleansed as they went. Healing was released the moment Jesus spoke, but it was manifest the moment they obeyed. I'm going to tell somebody, obedience releases miracles. Let's look at this one guy, okay? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was was the biggest outcast of the bunch. He was a Samaritan. So here is this leper who realizes he's been healed, and he runs back to the feet of Jesus, glorifies God with a loud voice, and says, "Thank you for healing me, Jesus."
And I don't understand why people dance and shout, and they got to get all loud when they praise God. Jesus never did that.
Well, maybe not, but everybody he touched did. Hello. You touched by Jesus, sometimes you might get a little crazy in your praise. Worship is a sign of a grateful heart, and giving thanks is the entry point into God's presence. Psalm 104 says, "Enter into his gates with," you got it, "and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." This man comes back shouting and praising God and thanking Jesus that he's been healed and set free. And Jesus looks around and takes attendance. 17, he says, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Here we find two categories of lepers, one who was grateful and 9 who were ungrateful. And according to Jesus, the grateful leper was the only one who gave God any glory. A grateful leper is somebody who's been healed, but they never forget the disease they used to have. Every time they look in the mirror, they remember what they used to look like. And they thank God that they're not who they used to be. Anybody here thank God you're not who you used to be? Every night when they go to bed in their home, they remember what it was like to sleep outside of a city in a cave. Every time somebody smiled at them, they remember what it used to be like when people look at them in horror and run away. A grateful leper never forgets where they came from. Oh, that we would never forget where God brought us from. If it wasn't for that one grateful leper, we would have never even heard of the other 9. God notices grateful people. Did you know that? You want to attract the attention of God? Live a life of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is deep, y'all. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." His will for me. I don't know what he wants for me. I just don't understand the will of God. That's the will of God for you. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You want to know the will of God for your life? Start by giving God thanks in every situation, and the rest will be easy to figure out. Come on. So here's how we walk in God's will. This is how we give thanks in everything. Number one, thank God for what you have. To somebody, thank God for what you got. Okay? Not thank God for what you might have. Thank God for what you do have. You might be thinking, "Well, I really don't have anything." And that's your first problem. Because you have more than you think you have. Did you know that 1.6 billion people are living without electricity today? Right now? I mean, I hear stories of grandma and grandpa and pawpaw and great grandma who grew up without electricity and plumbing, but that was a long time ago. 1.6 billion people do not have electricity today. If you have indoor plumbing, you're better off than half the people on this planet. Think about that. 80% of the world's population, 80% live off of less than $10 a day. So if you earn more than $70 a week, you are in the top 20% of the wealthiest people in the world. You have more than you think. Come on, tell somebody, "I'm blessed." Oh, say it like you mean it. Tell somebody else, "I'm blessed." Thank God for what you have. We all have a lot to be thankful for if we would open up our eyes to see the blessings of God. You know what's amazing to me is that I've been to countries that are incredibly poor, and I've been in the homes of Christians who have lived in absolute poverty, and they were some of the most grateful, thankful people I ever met. I sat down and had dinner with a family in Cuba, and they thanked God. They were picking the bugs out of the rice, and they were thanking God that they had rice to eat. You have more than you think you have. But you know, here in the United States, the advertising industry has trained us to be ungrateful. They spend $450 billion a year to make us unhappy with who we are, what we have, how we look, and what we do. At its core, advertising tries to make us ungrateful for what we have so we can get more or buy something else. But as Christians, we all have to live that way. We're in the world, but not of the world. That's why Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. My God, that's a word for America. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Here's why. Because God said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. If you've got Jesus, you've got it all. Some people don't even realize that Jesus is all they need until Jesus is all they have. Hello. Be thankful for what God has given you. Be content with what you've got because He's with you and He ain't never going to leave you. So here's my challenge. Spend less time thinking about what you don't have and more time thanking God for what you do have. Are you with me? Are you following me? Spend less time thinking about what you don't have, more time thanking God for what you do have. In other words, complain less about your circumstance and praise God more in your circumstance. The average man that says 7,000 words a day. The average woman says 20,000 words a day. Can I get a very quiet amen from all the men in the house? Y'all know what I'm talking about, amen. Amen. And whether you're a 7,000 worder or a 20,000 worder, either way, you only have but so many words in a day. Why waste them complaining about everything? Bible says we'll give an account for every idle word we speak, so choose your words wisely. Now, I got a special graphic. This wasn't in my original notes. I emailed it to Gabriel last night. Okay, this is my advice. Before you complain about it, think about it. That's a sound like a country saying right there. Before you complain about it, think about it. Tell somebody, think about it. Come on. Before you complain about something, why don't you thank God for something He's done for you? Amen? Let me give you some examples. You say, I don't have nice shoes. Well, thank God you got feet. There it is. You complain, I have to pay so much money in taxes. Well, thank God you got taxable income. You say, my clothes are just so tight all the time. Well, thank God you got plenty to eat. Amen. Ain't nobody going to question your testimony. It's tight because I ain't right. Amen. You complain. You say, I hate it when my alarm clock goes off in the morning. Well, thank God you woke up in your right mind. Amen. You could have woke up dead, but you didn't. You say, I hate it when the lady behind me in church sings off key. Well, thank God you got ears. Amen. Come on, tell somebody, think about it. Find something praiseworthy and give God glory for something, even in the middle of the mess. Amen? All right, y'all okay? Everybody good? All right, that was a fun point. Let's move on to the tough one. Okay? Remember, before you complain about it, think about it. Y'all remember? Come on, tell somebody else, think about it. I want y'all to take this with you this week. Think about it. In fact, do me a favor. Before we move on, humor me for a minute. Just put your hand on your chest. Okay? If you feel your heart beating, you got a reason to thank God. And if you don't feel a pulse, notify our ushers and we will get you some medical attention. Okay? If you're dead, let somebody know. Amen. We can't make our heart beat, can we? No matter how much money we have, no matter how much stuff we got, how popular we are, every day God gives us breath. He gives us
heart beats. He gives us life, and we ought to thank Him for that. Amen? So, in your situation, find something to thank God for, because some of y'all are so negative, you may make Charlie Brown look like Joel Osteen. Someone tell somebody, think about it. Number one, thank God for what you have. Number two, honor God with what you have. All right, I'm going to step on some toes a little bit this morning. What are you doing with the blessings of God in your life? Are you honoring the one who blessed you? Honor God with what you have. If you don't honor God, what you have doesn't honor God, either you're not being a good steward, or maybe it doesn't need to be in your life. Being content is more than just lip service. It's more than just saying, thank you, Jesus, for everything I've got. It's about honoring God in the way you handle what He gives you. You say, I thank God I'm alive, but are you taking care of your body? You say, I thank God for my house, but what kind of atmosphere are you creating in that home? You say, I thank God for my TV, but what kind of stuff are you watching on that TV? You say, I thank God for my wife, but are you loving her as Christ loves the church? You see, it's good to thank God for what we have, but we should also honor Him with what He's given us. Listen to this verse, Psalm 37:16. This will make you shout. It's better to be godly and have little than to be evil and rich. Whether you have a lot or a little bit, honor God with what you have. Proverbs 3:9 tells us, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. What's the first fruits? It's what the Bible calls the tithe, the first 10% of all that God gives us. Well, guys, I can't afford to tithe right now, but pray God blesses me so I can tithe. So you're asking me to pray that God will bless somebody who's stealing from Him? Sounds harsh, but it's what the Bible says. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, and what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. If you're not honoring God with what you have, it doesn't matter how much more you get, church, it'll never be enough. I read an article in Relevant Magazine about tithing, and it talked about research on the church in America. And they found that 80% of Americans claim to be in some way Christians, but less than 5% of them actually tithe. And in this article, the question was posed, what if every Christian in the United States tithed? Listen to these statistics. If every Christian in America tithed based on per capita income, there would be an additional $165 billion in donations to ministries across America. And listen to this. Here's just a few things the church could accomplish with this increase in giving. $25 billion could relieve global hunger and completely eradicate deaths from preventable diseases in 5 years. Because churches are better at managing money than governments. $12 billion could eliminate global illiteracy in 5 years. Hard to give a Bible to somebody who can't read. $15 billion could solve the world's water and sanitation problems in places where 1 billion people live on less than a dollar a day. And $1 billion could fully fund all overseas mission work. Wouldn't that be some incredible things to accomplish? And there's more, because there's $110 billion left over. That doesn't even touch what we could do here at home. We could put the public school system out of business. If you're a school teacher, don't be offended. We'll hire you. Just think about it. We could offer free Christian education to every child in America and do it better than the government. Amen. Instead of trying to get Christianity back in the schools, let's put America in Christian schools. Come on, y'all. Incredible thing about the things we could do if every believer would honor God with their first fruits. Starvation is the leading cause of death worldwide, and we could completely wipe it out in 5 years. But you can't afford to die. Yeah, y'all love me on point one, you hate me on point two. Don't worry, there's a third point coming. I'm talking to myself.
Listen, people who are grateful to God are generous to other people. Selfish people take, but grateful people give. Haggai 1:6, listen to this, an incredible, incredible verse of Scripture. You planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but listen, takers take and take and take, and they're never satisfied, but a grateful person always has enough. That's why grateful people are givers. I was having a conversation a couple weeks ago with somebody who was just talking about the power of tithing and how they were going through a season of transition. They couldn't even figure out how God was just supernaturally meeting every single need they had. And I said, amen, brother. That's my testimony too. There have been times when in our life where things have been tough, but we've honored God financially, and we would go and balance the checkbook, and we couldn't even figure out the math. I mean, it was crazier than Common Core math. We didn't understand it, that what was coming in was less than what was going out, but somehow God met every single need with more left over. That's how God operates. His math is way better than our math. His economy is better than the world's economy. Takers are always thinking about what they don't have. Givers are always thanking God for what they do have. Amen? Takers think about what they deserve, but givers are grateful just to be forgiven. We got any forgiven folks in the house today. Amen. Proverbs 11:24. One person who gives freely yet gains even more, another withholds unduly, comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. In God's system, just so crazy to the human mind. It's the opposite of this world. This world says, take, 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 and you'll be rich. But God says, give, 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 and I'll prosper you. Number one, thank God for what you have. Tell somebody, think about it. Number two, honor God with what you have. Tell somebody, honor God. And number three, worship God with all your heart. Worship God with all your heart. You know, this time of year, going into the Christmas season, I always hear somebody make this comment. What do you buy somebody who has everything? Anybody ever said that? Somebody that just seems to have everything they need, you just don't know what to buy? Okay, it's so frustrating to shop for those people because they really don't need stuff. But what about God? What do you give the one who has it all? What do you give the maker of heaven and earth who spoke the worlds into being? What can we possibly give God that he wants? After all, he made everything, he owns everything. But the incredible truth is that we do have something God wants. There is something that we can give him. Jesus said in John 4:23, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. What can we give God? Our worship. God loves it when we worship him with a grateful heart. And the Bible says God is looking for people who are willing to worship him. Worship is so important. That's why we put the music first. Amen? It's not a time filler for the people who show up 20 minutes late. Amen? It's one of the most important things we do every week as believers, because worship is the one thing we give directly to our Father in heaven when we come together and worship. Give God the glory he deserves. 1 Chronicles 16 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let's go back to Luke 17, where we started this morning, almost finished. 10 lepers were healed. One came back to Jesus and worshiped. One came back to Jesus and said, thank you. Recent study by the British Journal of Social Psychology found that only 1 out of 10 Americans has a daily sense of gratitude for anything. That's not good, y'all. I mean, I know that this is the British saying it about us, but it's a reputable institution. Okay? Only 1 out of 10 Americans is grateful. One out of ten. Does that number sound familiar? One out of ten. Jesus healed all ten, but only one came back to worship. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not ten cleansed, but where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. I want you to notice as we close that the other lepers were cleansed, but the one who came back and worshipped was made whole. There are some things in your walk with God that will only come through worshiping Him. You won't get there any other way. There is power in worship. You were created to worship. God is drawn to people who worship Him. So in our closing moments, will you join me? Will you stand to your feet for just a moment? And can we just take just a minute this morning out of our normal routines? Can we just lift our hands and lift our voices and worship God for a moment and thank Him? God, we thank You, Lord, for everything that You've given us. God, we thank You, Lord, for breath in our lungs this morning. God, we thank You for every heartbeat today. God, we thank You for Your faithfulness, for Your provision. God, You have richly blessed us and provided everything we need. And Lord, we worship You and we praise You this morning. God, we thank You. Lord, You redeemed our souls. You saved us from destruction. Lord, I thank You that my soul is satisfied in Jesus, that the stuff will come and go, and the money will come and go, and people will come and go, but nobody satisfies my soul but You. Jesus, we praise You this morning. I thank You that You're my anchor in every storm. You're my rock in an unstable world, and You're my peace in the midst of chaos, and I praise You this morning. Jesus, we thank You for everything You provided. God, we thank You for life. We thank You for freedom. God, we thank You for deliverance. We thank You for healing. We thank You for restoration. God, we thank You and we praise You and we worship You. You're my healer when I'm sick. You're my way when there is no way. You're my defender when I don't know what to do. My ever-present help in time of trouble. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who is and was and is to come. And we praise You. And we worship You this morning because You're worthy, Jesus. Your name is above every name. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that You are Lord. We praise You this morning and we thank You, Jesus. We thank You that we have victory over this world. We thank You that our faith is the victory that has overcome this world. We thank You that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And Lord God, right now in this moment, we testify of the goodness and the faithfulness of God, that You are faithful, that You are faithful, You are faithful, and You're worthy to be magnified and praised. We exalt You in this place. We lift up the name of the Lord and say, He is worthy, He is holy, He is mighty and worthy to be praised. Jesus, we worship You this morning. We thank You that You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through You. You're listening right now. Listen, you can search and search and search. You can make all the money you can make, get all the stuff you can get, do everything you ever wanted to do. But until you experience the goodness of Jesus, you will never be satisfied. There's a longing in every heart that only Jesus can fill. You can try to fill it with material things all you want, but it will never be enough because nothing can take place of Jesus. People spend most of their lives trying to fill that void with all these other things when Jesus is the answer they're looking for the whole time. You're here this morning, you haven't trusted your life to the hands of Jesus. Don't wait another minute. Surrender your life to Him this morning. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer of surrender as to help you as a starting point of your faith in Jesus. Will you pray this prayer with me out loud? Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Help me to live Help me to walk right. Help me to talk right. Help me to think right. I give you everything, Jesus. And with your help, I'll follow you the rest of my life. Wash me in your blood. Set me free from sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Change my life forever. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's continue to worship. Lift up your hands.